It's a beautiful day. I got up this morning and started driving over here, and the sun was right there. And it was a beautiful day. I would ask that you continue praying for what time I stand before you. I've looked forward to being here today, and I'm very humble to be here, and I'm very thankful to be here with Brother Randall. Brother Randall was coming to church in Clovis when he was at Eastern, so I've known him for quite a while, and I'm very pleased and honored to be here with you, Brother Randall. I've had a subject on my mind for about 3 hours. I told Brother Kenny it's probably already preached out. So you better pray for me. And then pray that Brother Webb will come up and straighten it all out. The scripture I've got on my mind is James 5, 16b. There's two sentences in that scripture. And the second sentence, 16b, says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, that sort of just stuck in. The verses before that, he's talking about, is there any sick among you? Then let him come to the elders and let them pray. And he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, and that ye may be healed. And then he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Have you thought about that? Let me tell you, I'm not here to tell you how to believe. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to give you the scriptures that I understand and why I believe that way. And I've really been studying this scripture. This has really hit home. You see, the 1 Thessalonians, 5, 4, whatever it says. It says, Paul tells them to pray unceasingly. Y'all pray unceasingly? I used to think I did. You know, that car that sort of weaved in front of me, I thank the Lord that he didn't let that car hit me. And, you know, and when I have an errant thought, I'd, Lord, take that thought away from me. And, you know. But put that into what this verse says. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, when I first started studying this, I don't know about you, but my first question was, well, I'm in trouble. I'm not a righteous man. I'm a sinner. But then the thought comes to me that the only way that we can be righteous is that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you and me. And when his blood was shed for you and me, it made us righteous, innocent, just, holy, sanctified, called, all of those good words. Well, that changes the attitude, okay? Because of Jesus Christ, I am a righteous man. Okay, so what's an effectual fervent prayer? Well, that's a good question. So I looked it up. You know what that is in the Greek? It's an energetic prayer. It's got energy in it. Okay? Heard that this morning. Okay? An energetic prayer. See, it's not something that we do. It's something that God gives us. Now, the next thing is that it avails much. Well, let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you feel like God gives you that prayer and that you have what you're praying avails much? Do you think it makes a big difference? If I step on a toe or two, forgive me right now, because I don't know how you believe. I know that the Primitive Baptists believe in predestination. I got to go back to this a little bit. We believe in predestination, but you know what? There's different types of predestination. You know, there's predestination. I believe that every child of God believes in predestination. They believe that God predestinated a people from before the foundation of the earth, to be conformed to the image of his son, that they would be raised to heavenly places to seat with heavenly places with Jesus Christ. They believe that. But not all Israel is of Israel. So a lot of people believe that predestination is right, but it's just an ambiguous group of people. And if you meet this criteria and this criteria and this criteria, you accept God, you say the prayer, you'd be baptized, all of this kind of stuff puts you in that group of predestinated people. I don't know, maybe you believe that. Then there's a group of people, and I know and love them, that believe that God predestinated everything absolutely. No. Absolute predestination. Let me say it that way. That means that you're sitting here, God preordained it before the foundation of the world, that you'd be sitting in this church, in this pew, listen to this white-haired old man talk to you about the scriptures, and he also preordained it that whether you would sleep or not during this. Now I want you to think about that and then put this verse that we're talking about. If God did that, what's prayer for? How does it avail much? Right? Now again, I know people, I have loved ones that believe in absolute. I believe in predestination absolutely. Let's do it that way. I believe that God predestinated a people. If my people who are called by my name, he predestinated the people, but it was more specific. He predestinated a person's name, first name and last name, and he called them, and he put the Holy Spirit in them, and he wrote his commands in their heart so that they would know and follow him. That's predestination, absolutely. And if I'm a member of that predestinated group, it's because Jesus Christ died for me and his blood was shed for me and my sins are forgiven and I have something to pray for, to praise him and to glorify his name. But I also have a reason to have an effectual prayer, a fervent prayer that availeth much. We had a member of our church that got cancer and we prayed. And we prayed, and we prayed. God healed him, took him home. Okay? But there was always that question. Did we pray enough? I heard his father tell his granddaughter, it was our fault. We didn't pray enough. And that hurt me. So let me ask you a question. What's the purpose of prayer in your heart? Is it to say things and pray and praise God and raise up his praise and his holy name and to make you feel better? See, that's what absolute predestination is it makes you feel better because you can't change anything. Well, I got a couple of scriptures here. I'll just go to them real quick. Numbers 11 and verse 2. Numbers 11, of course. I think Numbers is in my Bible. Hang on a minute. Oh, there it is. Okay. Every once in a while, God tells me, see, Steve, you don't know what you're doing. Okay. Chapter 11 of Numbers says this, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. That's a fervent, an effectual, fervent prayer that availed much. Okay? Now, if you go to 1 Kings 17, I won't go there, but that's talking about a child has died and the prophet is asking why the child died. And so he prays for the child. And if you remember the story, he actually lays on top of the child and asks God for the child's soul to come back. And the soul comes back to the child and it's restored to his mother. Do you believe that an effectual prayer can avail much? I do. I do. Do you believe that? Well, let me just do it this way. I can give you a whole bunch of more scriptures, but let's do this. John 17 is a prayer. Jesus prayed it. Now, if we're just supposed to praise God, why would Jesus pray? Because he prays in that prayer. He says, you know, that he's one with God, right? He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know Jesus, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you know Jesus Christ, you're one of his called, right? Now, a lot of people that believe in predestination, the general predestination, will say, did you accept him? He accepted me. That's all I have to know. Okay? But listen to what he says. I have glorified thee on the earth, which I have finished the work which thou gavest to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. That's pretty effectual, pretty specific prayer. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Did you catch that? He prayed for them. Now, wait a minute. Jesus and God are one. Now, if prayer wasn't effectual, why would Jesus pray to God for the men that God had given him? As you go on down, he's praying for us also. Right? It's very effectual. It's very specific. We heard a very specific prayer this morning, and I thank the brother for that. I thank God that God gave him the words. Very thankful for that. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Catch that? He's given him. By the way, if you read that right, you know, sometimes it's that God gave Christ to them, and sometimes it's God gave them to Christ. You have to read that. Let me show you that. I'll just show you that real quick. John 10, he's talking about my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, he gave us Jesus. Catch that? He didn't give us to Jesus. He gave Jesus to us. We have Jesus in us. That's what he says in John 14. He says, I'm in God, God is in me, and I'm in you, and you're in me. So guess what? God is in you, by the way. For you kids that are still studying algebra, that's an algebraic equation right there. Think about that, okay? A plus B equals C, and C minus A equals, yeah, okay? I'm in God, God is in me. I'm in you, and you are in me. Therefore, we're in God, and God is in us. And Jesus prayed to God for us. Doesn't that tell us that we need to pray for each other? Doesn't that tell us that if Jesus prays to God, now you have to understand that word pray there when he says, I pray for them, that word there is two equal people that are, he's asking on an equal status. You know, Jesus told us that we're supposed to ask, we'll receive, we seek, and we shall find, and we knock and the door will be open to us. That word ask is from a lower person asking a higher person. That's the way that prayer goes, right? And when he's talking about praying, he says, if you'll ask, let's get the right words, about the time that he's talking about that if you had enough faith, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say this mountain move and it would move. And then he says, if you will ask in my name, believing, and I'll give it to you. That's an effectual, fervent prayer. But do we pray that way? See, I'm going to tell you about me. I pray all the time. I thank God for this. Thank God for this. I ask him to forgive this because I'm a sinner. You ever been sitting in church? No, let's do it this way. I've been sitting in church and having a wonderful prayer like we had this morning, right? and something hits my head and I have to ask God to forgive me because it was a bad thought. Right in the middle of a prayer. So we ask God and we talk to God. I've been studying this verse. What's a fervent and effectual prayer? And this changed my entire way of praying. Now, I don't know about, again, I don't, maybe you do. I know a lot of brothers here that they probably pray the same way. But I get up, and the first thing I do after I read some scriptures, I go to Psalms 5. In Psalms 5:1, and I can usually quote it to you, but I will read it so that I don't misquote it. 5:1 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God, for under thee I will pray." And then I start talking to God. And I start asking for things specifically. You know, we go to Matthew 6. We're doing a Bible study at the church on Sunday mornings before church. And we're in the Sermon on the Mount. But in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he starts talking about prayer. And Jesus tells him that, you know, don't stand out on the corner and pray and shout things. And he says, go into your closet and pray in secret. Well, I have a problem. I can't even get my stuff in my closet. Right? So let's not take it literally. Go find you a quiet place. You can turn off the TV and all that kind of stuff. And sit down and recall some scriptures and then start talking to God. And praise Him. You know, He gives us that in chapter 6, a little further down, He gives that template for a prayer. I don't listen to that template. What I do is I start off giving Him thanks for this beautiful day. Thanks for having breath. But I've also written a list of things that I've got a study that's got the TV and computer and all that. That's all turned off. But on the door is a list of things to pray for. Now, I've talked to people a long time that say, yeah, I'll add you to my prayer list and things like that. I got a prayer list. And the first thing I pray about is that I would learn more about Him. That's the first thing. And then my mind takes over and I start praying about other things. I prayed for Brother Randall today and the services that we're going to go through. And I pray about the country. Do you pray about the country? I have a cousin that I love. And he told me, we had a family reunion, he told me the other day, he said, you know, I was really worried about the country, and I was talking to God, and he said, I put that man there. And he says, I quit worrying about it. God's in charge of the leaders. I don't pray for a new leader. I pray for that it would be a God-fearing leader, but other than that, it's God, have mercy on our country. Oh, have mercy on our country. We've gone so far away. Do you pray? Do you earnestly, an effectual, fervent prayer? Do you actually believe that what you pray will make a difference in somebody's life? I pray for somebody. I tell God, give me somebody that I can bless him in however way he needs help. Maybe he's got car trouble. Maybe it's just somebody that comes up and says, you know, I need somebody to talk to. Maybe it's you come before a congregation and you hope that the Lord keeps them awake, that they might hear something. Just an aside, you ask these other ministers, they'll tell you, yeah, they see everything out here. You know, I see when my brother-in-law goes like this, okay? All right? And I love him to death, but I have a tendency to go a little bit long. I don't know about you other ministers, but I have a tendency to go a little long, so I'm going to sit down in just a minute, but I want you to think about something. Get in your closet. Wherever that closet is, get in your closet. Shut everything off. And then vocally pray to God. Now, the reason I say vocally is because I told you I can be sitting in church and listening to a prayer, and my mind will go someplace else. So I have to, I'm one of those weak people. I have to talk to God because that keeps my mind on what I'm doing. And pray to God. And pray believing, because an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you go ahead and read the rest of that. I'm not right on that chapter right now, but I'll go back. He says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There's an effectual, fervent prayer. It's all the way through the Bible. Hezekiah prayed that he'd be healed. God healed him. But he'd sinned. Oop, wait a minute. You mean we can sin and still have an effectual, fervent prayer? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for us. Because Jesus Christ came and walked and understood what we're going through. He didn't sin, but he was tempted. And you and I are covered by his blood. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that a second. If you're covered by his blood, you're a righteous person. Chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. Solomon is dedicating the temple. Remember, David couldn't build the temple because he had too much battle, too many wars in his life. And so God wouldn't let him, and his sins and stuff, God wouldn't let him build the temple. But his son Solomon could build the temple. And so Solomon had a prayer to dedicate the temple. And Solomon, I'll cut to the chase on this, he prays specific things. If thy people go away from you and you send pestilence, but they come back to this place and pray, will you heal them? Will you take the pestilence away? If they sin and they go away from you, and an army comes in to take them over, will you, and they come back to this place and they pray, notice they come back to this place, this temple, and he, will you take this army away from them? There's about 6 different things. Very specific. Now I'll turn to that real quick. Maybe I'll turn to it real quick. And so chapter 7, after he's gone through all of this, and by the way, he offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep to dedicate this temple. A lot of sacrifice. Maybe we'll get to that point in a second too. But he says this, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, verse 12, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, those are things that Solomon prayed for. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What's the first thing you're supposed to do? Humble yourself. Boy, that's the easiest thing, isn't it? Think about it a second. Praying to God is easy because God gives you the words. Okay? Seeking his face is easy because we need to seek his face. But humbling ourselves and turning from our wicked ways are two things that are really hard. But it's a real simple statement. If my people who are called by my name, rest of the world doesn't matter. The rest of the world doesn't matter. It's his people. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Remember that effectual, fervent prayer. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Heal their land. We as a people need to pray more effectually. And I love this church, and I know you are praying people, and we've got ministers from all over here, and I'm just so thankful to be counted among them. But we need to pray. Abraham, when God came to see Abraham, remember three men came to his tent? Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to think that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was the three men, but however you want to look at it. But as you read through that, and as you're reading through that chapter, I think that's 19 of Genesis, he says that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does Abraham do? He starts interceding. You know, I called it playing poker. You know, but God, if there's 50 righteous people, will you not destroy the two cities? No, I won't. Well, how about if there's only 20? Will you not destroy the, right? We need to be interceding for our country. We need to be interceding for each other every day in a fervent, effectual prayer. And you are righteous people. We need to be praying on our knees in our closet, wherever that closet may be. Whatever that may be to you. And it's not like I used to do. You know, thank you, Lord. Appreciate them. I'm so thankful for all the blessings you've given me. And thank you for the health that I've got. And I'll take the gout away if you would, please. I'd appreciate that. But, you know, watch over those that are in the church and watch over those and those that are sick and afflicted and those that are in mourning, you know, that you know, give them comfort and grace and forgive me of my sins and amen. That's not an effectual prayer. But we have this man that's going to come up before us. And he's going to preach to us, and he's going to sing out the very gospel of Christ. And you need to be praying that the Lord will take him away and leave nothing, nothing but the Spirit of God, that his manifest presence will be here and lift you up so that when you walk out of here, you're shouting, glory to God. Because that's what we're here for, is glory to God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I had about 2 more hours to go, but I preached it out this morning. I had a wonderful drive over. God gave me a whole lot more scriptures, but I want to hear Brother Webb. I want to hear him come up. I'm looking forward to being raised and seeing God's presence among us because we have prayed to God that he would be here. Come ahead, brother.